Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside and inside. It's even more beautiful.
The point of having a bunch of Ferraris and keep them in the garage, you know, like, take them out to the track, so.
Once a giant, always a giant. For me, it's only a giant.
Welcome, everybody, to a special edition of All In with Art Stapleton, a New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I am your host, Art Stapleton, and we are coming to you from the lovely Courtyard Marriott down here in Orlando, Florida, about, a four-minute drive from where the NFL annual meeting, the owners' meetings, what they're commonly known as, have taken place this week down here in the city that Walt Disney built, I guess, or Shaq. But Orlando is Orlando. And we've been down here the last couple days with Giants brass. We had the opportunity to talk to John Mara for the first time in a calendar year, Joe Shane, first time since the combine, and Brian Daboll, the first time since he spoke the day after the season ended with the Giants upsetting Philly. So we've got a lot to cover on today's show. Wanted to make sure we were able to wrap up everything that went on down here at the owners' meetings and kind of keep you up to date and get you caught up in all the buzz for the New York Giants. It's draft season again. We've got free agency, not necessarily in the rearview mirror. It's more of a side view mirror right now. And, you know, things are still going on, but I think the focus right now is on the draft. So let's go in order. Yesterday, we had John Mara for about 26 minutes. Joe Shane then followed with it for about 20 minutes. And then this morning at the NFC Coaches Breakfast, we had Brian Daboll for 30 minutes and covered a lot of ground. So let's go to Mara. We'll go top of the ladder to the bottom of the ladder, so to speak. Not necessarily the bottom rung, but we'll go Mara, Shane, and then Brian Daboll, and we'll mix and match as we go along. So first things first, John Mara, express confidence in Daboll and Shane. And now if you hear that, this is the we don't have our quiet studio at home. And for some reason today they're doing construction here at the hotel down in Orlando. So if you hear things in the background, it sounds like drilling. I'm not sure if they're on the roof. I'm sitting here on the fifth floor, but bear with us. Hopefully the audio is good. Hopefully you don't hear too much of that in the background, because, of course, they're going to start doing that as we start recording the show. Anyway, back to John Mara. The big thing for John Mara is the vote of confidence, so to speak, for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. It was important for Mara to talk on that. There's a lot of speculation about them being on the hot seat coming off of 6-11 and where that would be. So I've been telling you, I don't believe that they are on a hot seat. I think John Mara believes in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll as his coach. I don't think he wants to go through what he went through going all the way back to when Tom Coughlin left, in terms of every 2 years looking for a head coach. Daboll is the first coach since Tom Coughlin to get a third year. And I think the Giants believe that he's the right guy for the job. Now, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen between now and the end of the 2024 season, simply because we don't know circumstances. We've seen a ton of circumstances in this league for this team, in this franchise over the past decade that turns a winning product to a losing product to an awful product to a we need to make a change product. So that's where we're at in terms of where John Mara is as far as the people he has in place. I believe he believes in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I heard from a lot of people, why doesn't John Mara talk more? And I wanted to share this because I've said this, I've tweeted this to some people when they've asked. I've talked about it in my newsletter, I believe, but I'm also going to write about that this week. The all-in newsletter that if you haven't gotten that, go to northjersey.com. Make sure you subscribe. Comes out every other week in the off season, and then we'll end up going back to a weekly Friday morning during the season, or probably in training camp, but we'll have to wait and see. But I've said this about John Mara, and people want to know why John Mara doesn't talk more. Is he hiding? John Mara is not hiding, number one, because John Mara is very good at this. You put a microphone in front of John Mara, he's the owner of the Giants. Co-owner, Steve Tisch is also here, but John Mara is the day-to-day owner of the Giants. He's involved in Giants business. He is the team president. He is in just about every meeting. He's at every practice. John Mara talks the Giants. He's lived the Giants. This is his team. And the reality is he's always wanted a general manager to be out front. And you couldn't do that with Jerry Reese near the end of his tenure, because Jerry had gotten very defensive and really did not have a great relationship with the media. And then, of course, with Dave Gettleman, when they hired Dave Gettleman, I heard from people behind the scenes that, you know, Dave's going to do the talking for the organization. And we know how that worked out. Dave Gettleman did not have the same personality on camera, in front of cameras, that maybe they thought they were getting behind the scenes. And so that did not allow John Mara to take a step back. Now they have Joe Shane, and Joe Shane is very good with the media. Joe Shane controls what he wants to say and what he says. And he is not, he's not defensive. You know, he doesn't get defensive off of things that are being said about him. So John Mara wants to take a step back and allow Joe Shane, is comfortable with Joe Shane being the face of the franchise, so to speak, for ownership. And that's the way it goes. And Brian Daboll is the face of the team during the season. And that's the way they operate. And John Mara is plenty satisfied being the owner who talks once a year at the owner's meetings and as needed. And if there's something that John Mara wants to talk about, he will make sure to get his message out. So John Mara had not talked since the owner's meetings last year in Arizona. And we gathered in a small conference room at the Ritz, which is where the owner's meetings were, down here, connected to the JW Marriott, which is where the media center was. And we talked to John Mara, like I said, for about 26 minutes. So the thing I'll say about John Mara, and he's very observant. He knows what's going on. You know, he has the people he respects. I'd like to think I'm one of them as far as reporters go. I've known John now for a while. I've covered his team for a while, not through the greatest of circumstances. I go all the way back to Super Bowl 46, so I did see them at their best. And I think John Mara has a pretty good idea as far as which reporters, whether they're beat reporters or national reporters, who have taken shots, some personal, some criticism that's warranted. And you would not know if you are in a group setting interview with John Mara who he likes, who he doesn't like. He pretty much answers the questions the same way. You will talk for John Mara. You will talk with John Mara for 26 minutes, and John Mara will answer every question, but he will not say something that he doesn't want to say. You can't trap him, and that's a skill. I mean, maybe it's a decade of experience that he had as a lawyer before he even officially joined the Giants organization. Back when his father, Wellington, actually brought him into the fold. to work with the Giants. And I remember when I took over the beat, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but the Mara family has a rule, and I believe it's still in place, that if you want to work for the family business, which is the Giants, the Maras are all about the Giants. You know, the Tisch family has a lot of other things that they're involved in. The Mara family business is the Giants. If you want to work for the Giants and work for the family business, you have to go get a job elsewhere first. And then there's a certain time period before you can actually come back into the organization and work for the family business. John had to do it. Tim McDonald, who is the director of player personnel for the Giants, is John's nephew, Wellington's grandson. He had to do it. He went and he worked. He was at Notre Dame in personnel at Notre Dame with Charlie Weiss for a while. And then he came back into the fold, once a ball boy for the franchise. So a lot of people who talk about Tim McDonald and how Tim McDonald is now in a position of power and it's nepotism and it's the family and all that stuff. Tim McDonald went and worked for, you know, a college football program for a while, you know, and he doesn't have the Mara family name. Now, obviously people know him, but, you know, you have to work. And I always thought that was interesting for that family, that until you went and worked elsewhere for a certain period of time, then you were allowed to come back into the family business if you were qualified and there were things that you were going to do. So that's something that I think John Mara has always made clear. So I mentioned Wellington. I want to tell this story because I thought it was interesting. I wrote about it on NorthJersey.com. I think the total number of stories I wrote was 11 the last 2 days. So please, if you haven't read our copy here from Orlando, please do it. We got stuff on Dable, Shane, Mara, the quarterbacks, even wrote a Jets story. So if you're interested in that or you know of a fan who's a Jets fan, a friend who's a Jets fan, make sure you go and read that. Was that with Robert Saleh yesterday? So Jim Harbaugh back in the league talking about J.J. McCarthy. Wrote a story today about the new kickoff rule and how two guys from Jersey, John Fossil and Darren Rizzi, really were involved in pushing that new kickoff rule across the goal line. Maybe at some point this spring we'll get somebody to come on and talk about that rule because I explained it in the story, so you can check that out. But I won't be able to talk about it now because I really don't know enough about it. If you watch the XFL, the kickoffs that they do, it's a hybrid format to what the XFL did. And the NFL put in some tweaks, but kickoffs are now going to be a live play. They're not going to be dead. You're not going to have a kicker boot them into the end zone constantly. They're going to have kickoffs. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that takes shape. Okay, back to the John Mara story. We all want to know about quarterbacks, right? John Mara talked about how he will not stand in the way of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll if they have a conviction about a quarterback. That, yes, Daniel Jones is here. Everybody still believes in Daniel Jones. They believe Daniel Jones will be the starter this season. But John Mara will not stand in the way. Now, an offshoot of that is 20 years ago in 2004. Now, we all know what happened in 2004. The Giants made the trade on draft day for Eli Manning. What people don't remember, and John Mara talked about that yesterday, is that Wellington Mara loved Kerry Collins, loved him, did not see a reason why the Giants should move off of Kerry Collins. He had brought the Giants to a Super Bowl 4 years earlier. They believed that Wellington would not change his mind, that he was sticking with Kerry Collins. Why are they going to make a trade on draft day, give up assets, and bring in a rookie quarterback? So John and others in the organization convinced Wellington to allow Ernie Accorsi and Tom Coughlin, who both believed in a quarterback, that it was time to draft a quarterback. And they allowed Kerry Collins to end up going, I believe it was to go to Tennessee after the Giants. I should have checked that timeline. But Kerry Collins ended up leaving the Giants. And then Kurt Warner obviously came in free agency to be the starter for the Giants that year. We all know how that happened with Eli. But John Mara told that story because he remembers that had they just allowed Wellington to put his foot down and the Duke said, no, we're sticking with Kerry, maybe the Giants would have won more. Maybe they would not have won more. But ultimately, they would have had to find a quarterback at some point. Of course, he was zeroed in on Eli Manning and Ben Roethlisberger. We all have heard the story. If the Chargers didn't agree to trade Eli Manning to the Giants would have taken Ben and not Phillip Rivers at four. They made the trade. They took Phillip Rivers. And thanks to my producer, Paul Wood, Kerry Collins went to the Raiders for 2 years and then Tennessee after that. So it was to the Raiders first, then to Tennessee. Thanks, Paul, for that. And so Kerry Collins leaves. The Giants are zeroed in on the draft, and they end up trading for Eli Manning. Either Eli Manning or Ben Roethlisberger would have been the quarterback for the Giants, and Kurt Warner would have been the starter that year, 2004. So why is that story brought up? Because it brings context to the idea, you know, and John Mara, as I told you earlier, John Mara is very aware of what's said about him. And John Mara brought up the idea that people call him a meddler. They say he meddles too much. He's meddling. And it's really a foolish thing. And I've talked about it. I know I've angered some fans, whether you're still listening to the show or not. You know, I'm on the Mara payroll. That's all this stuff that I end up hearing. But the reality is this. Like, if John Mara was a meddler, Saquon Barkley would be a Giant. Point blank, period. Talked about Saquon. John Mara said it's going to make him sick watching him play for the Eagles. But the reality is John Mara believes in the plan that's being set forth by Joe Shane and to an extent Brian Daboll. So if they come to him and say, look, we think it's time we draft a quarterback this year and we like J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or Jaden Daniels, it's not going to be Caleb Williams because to listen to the Bears talk this week, Caleb Williams is all but assured of going to Chicago. Now, if that were to change, maybe the Giants get involved in Caleb as well. But right now, I think it's limited. If they're going to take a pick of a quarterback, I think it's limited to those three guys, McCarthy, May, and Daniels, at least with the sixth pick and in the first round. So that brings us to the quarterback situation. John Mara yesterday, you know, couldn't understand why we just kept why someone was saying that, you know, they would have to get rid of Daniel Jones if they drafted a quarterback. He said, come in, let the rookie compete with Daniel Jones, see where we're at after 2024. And that's the reality. The money is on the books. Only if Daniel Jones were injured and could not play next year would the injury guarantee trigger in. Now, does that come into play the way it did with Russell Wilson in Denver? Like they benched in the final 2 weeks last year in Denver to make sure that Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt and trigger that guarantee? Well, that's too far ahead. That you'll get to that point when you get to that point. That's also why Drew Lock is here. You know, so if they do draft the quarterback, you can just have guys compete, and that's the way it's going to be. And do I know if the Giants are going to take a quarterback or not? Joe Shane doesn't know if the Giants are going to take a quarterback because there are too many variables right now. If the Giants were sitting at number one, we'd have a pretty good idea as to what they're going to do. There are other teams that are involved right now, and I think that's important to keep in mind. Do the Giants want to trade up if their guy is there? I think they would, yeah. But we don't know if that spot is going to be open. And it remains to be seen what happens over the next 4 weeks until draft night. So that's where we're at for that. So let's catch you up on the quarterbacks. And this is kind of Shane and Daboll. We got pretty good idea that a big Giants contingent will be heading to LSU for their pro day to watch Jaden Daniels on Wednesday. And then Chapel Hill for North Carolina's pro day, Drake May. Brian Daboll said he will be going to some pro days. It sure makes sense for the hour and change plane ride from Orlando to Baton Rouge that Daboll and Shane will go to LSU. We'll find that out tomorrow. Shane and Daboll did not want to, you know, comment on that specifically as to where they're going, but we'll find out. And I'll have that tomorrow if they're there. But it makes sense to do the Orlando to Baton Rouge to Chapel Hill, home to Jersey route for Giants brass, especially Daboll and Shane. Do they do that? We'll see. The Giants will also have people at Washington, I would imagine. And we'll see where that is. You know, I think Michael Penix is kind of behind now. Bo Nix, they wouldn't enter the conversation until the, you know, late first round, second round, and then maybe beyond that. We'll see. It's hard for me to buy into the Giants drafting Michael Penix. I know he got a clean bill of health supposedly at the combine, but when you go through what they've gone through injury wise with Daniel Jones, how do you commit to Michael Penix to be your next quarterback when he's had four of his college seasons ended by injury, two ACLs, two shoulder injuries? So I'm not sure that is a viable option. So we know Drake May and J.J. McCarthy have both been through on top 30 visits in East Rutherford, spent the day with the Giants. Daboll will now get involved. Now, here's the thing. They're going to have workouts, private workouts, where the Giants are the only ones there for the quarterbacks. How many of them? Probably not going to do a private workout with Caleb Williams. My guess is Caleb wouldn't do one with them or any other team if the Bears have committed to him. So we'll see. But I got to imagine that the Giants are going to have private workouts for McCarthy, for May, for Daniels, and then we'll see where they go from there with the other guys. They've met extensively with all of the quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl and then at the Combine. They'll continue to do so. To me, I still think it's quarterback or wide receiver in that pick, and I think it's still up for grabs as to what they're going to do. So that's where we're at. That's where we're going. That's what's next. So you've got the pro days this week. Then you kind of have a little bit of a lull period. Heading into April, you'll hear things, you'll see things going on. For the Giants, a big one, and who knows when it's going to come, but Darren Waller's retirement, is he retiring? Is he playing another year? The Giants say they want to give Waller whatever time he needs to make that decision. Now, does it hold them up? Sure it does. It holds them up because you want to replace that, either that contract or use that money elsewhere. That you would free up. I think it would free up about just about $7 million in cap space, but it would also be a dead hit this season. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I mentioned Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. Barkley and McKinney both had text exchanges with John Mara after they committed to signing with their respective teams, the Eagles and the Packers. Mara said that, you know, he called Barkley a class act, said he kind of texted back and forth. He said McKinney, which I thought was interesting. As soon as John Mara sent him a text, McKinney called him right back. So called him on the phone. Look, there's no animosity between ownership. I mean, we used to hear that back with Odell Beckham Jr. when he left. He had exchanges with John Mara in terms of positivity and what, you know, what they've got. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. We'll see. Roger Goodell said there's no new update on the tampering allegations with Saquon Barkley. So we'll have to see when that comes about. Let's talk a couple. Brian Burns. Brian Burns only happens, and I've told you this, because Barkley and McKinney went elsewhere. They would not have been able to deal with the $30 million a year to the pass rusher if they kept the 13 for Saquon and the 17 for Xavier McKinney. I know you can do funny math and make it work cap-wise. The Giants were not going to do that. It's allocation of resources, and I think they wanted Burns. They essentially chose Burns over McKinney and Barkley. Now, will the Giants add to the safety room? Will they add to the corner room? It remains to be seen. I think they will. Prices are going to come down. You're going to see some veterans out there. Tre'Davious White was supposed to come visit the Giants. I have not gotten official word whether he did or he didn't. And the medical is big on that. He's coming back from an Achilles in October. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see where that goes. So kind of talked about Shane a little bit, but I feel like everything from the combine is still pretty fresh with Shane. So it was nothing earth shattering, you know, kept the door open for everything evaluation wise. One thing I thought of is that I thought was interesting is I asked him about smoke screens, and Shane said, you know, he doesn't believe that the Giants will get caught up in a smoke screen from another team, and he doesn't believe in playing games either. And he thinks it's a trust factor between the other general managers. He's got a lot of good relationships with general managers out there. So, you know, you trust in the relationships that you have, and you have to get a read on other teams. You try to get a read honestly rather than following smoke screens. So remains to be seen how things play out. But I think for the most part, even though everyone lies a little bit, you know, some white lies as far as what they may be interested in, I think what the Giants do is that they won't tell you you're wrong, because wrong information is good for them. And all of these reports that are out there that may be right or wrong for what the Giants are thinking, they're not going to reach out and tell someone. You might want to move off of that because it helps them. It helps them throw off the scent for something. That is not why Joe Shane was not at J.J. McCarthy's pro day. He was not at J.J. McCarthy's pro day, number one, because he was just in for the 30 visit. He saw Michigan play this year, and that tells me they're going to have a private workout with J.J. McCarthy. That's just the way it's going to be. So we'll get on that. Brian Daboll's breakfast. Now, it's interesting. If you've never heard about the owners' meetings before, this was my first owners' meetings. They do AFC and NFC coaches' breakfasts, similar to the media setup at a Super Bowl. They have round tables, usually 8 to 10 seats. Cameras take up some of the spots. And on Monday morning, it's the AFC coaches. On Tuesday morning, it was the NFC coaches. And starting at 7:45, it's basically a round table interview session with the head coach of every respective team in the conference. Today was Brian Daboll's turn. Did he say anything earth-shattering? No, he did not. So I would imagine for Daboll, it was mission accomplished. Didn't do much on the Wink front. This was his first time talking to us since Wink Martindale's exit and whatever mess that was as far as why he left, what happened between Wink and Daboll. If you came in on Tuesday morning expecting Daboll to address any of that stuff, well, you were probably barking up the wrong tree, because that was not going to happen. I asked him about Shane Bowen, which is going to be very interesting, because between Shane Bowen and Joe Shane, there's going to be some confusion at some point, at least in speaking terms. Who are you talking about, the defensive coordinator or the general manager? Sometimes somewhere along the line that's going to happen. But the one thing that I thought was interesting that was kind of a slight jab at Wink Martindale from Brian Daboll was every time he talked about Shane Bowen, he mentioned that he was a good teammate. He was a good teammate, good X's and O's, and good teammate being he's collaborative. He believes in collaboration, wants to get his coaches involved from front to back on the defense. Andre Patterson, Eggs, inside linebackers, Jerome Henderson on the back end, and all the other assistant coaches. Good teammate. And I think that was kind of that, you know, as opposed to the defensive coordinator that we had last year, who really wanted to run a little kingdom defensively. And I think that, you know, those are my words. It's not what Brian Daboll said, but I think, you know, Wink wanted to run the defense like he was the head coach of the defense. And Brian Daboll allowed him to do that. So I think he decided he wanted a little bit different approach from his defensive coordinator now. And I think he got that from Shane Bowen. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes together. And that was really pretty much it at the owners' meetings. A lot of good stuff setting us up for what should be a very, very interesting month for the Giants. And where does it go? My gut tells me right now, if one of the quarterbacks is there, they will take him. I think one of the quarterbacks has to blow them away over the next couple weeks, if they haven't already, for them to truly make an aggressive move up from six. I think they know they need a number one wide receiver, or at least would like one. It's a game-changing position. And I think if they're there, they would take a game-changing position. You know, don't forget, LSU Pro Day doesn't just have Jaden Daniels. Malik Nabers is there. Brian Thompson, Thomas Jr. is there. So makes a lot of sense for the Giants to head to LSU. So that'll wrap up today's show, our wrap-up from the owners' meetings down here in Orlando. Appreciate you listening for 30-some-odd minutes. So I figured we'd do a show right around the time that all three members of the Giants brass talked this week. Again, appreciate you being all in. We may end up taking a little bit of time off next week and then come back with our regular show the following week, heading into April and really pick up steam heading to the draft. But if there were breaking news, we probably will pop on and do something and go from there. But again, check out all my coverage on northjersey.com. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter if you haven't. Reach out to me privately on DM on Twitter. My DMs are open. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you want to see. We're always open to changing, and we'll go from there. So we were all in down here in Orlando. We had you covered, soup to nuts, owner to head coach, and everything in between. So we appreciate you being all in as well. For Paul Wood, I'm Art Stapleton. Thanks for listening and watching today's show, and we'll be back soon. It's a interesting draft season for the New York Giants, and we'll be all in.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.